Give the Lord a cheer.
Hallelujah.
For the
praise God.
Glorify his name.
Hallelujah.
Glorify his name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You love God, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. There you go. He'll show you how to do it. Did something last night I've never done before. Never done it before. And I got to thinking about it. Thinking why I did it. You know, God is so good. Man. He'll use you to do things you don't even realize you're doing at the time. And, you know, we just kind of got to go in sometimes and blah. And look back and say, even that was of God. But I came in the tent last night. I came in the back of the tent last night, which I just don't do. Once I leave, I'm out of here. I go and pray and try to figure out what God was showing me. And I come back in and a woman was brought up to me. And she said to me, "You don't really think that when Jesus taught the people that they actually shouted and raised their hands and said, Hallelujah." Mm-hmm. And something came all over me. I said, "You better believe I do."
Amen.
"You better believe I do." And the only people that had a problem with it were Pharisees.
Amen.
And they told his disciples to shut those people up. And Jesus overheard them. And what did he say? He said, "If they shut up, the rocks themselves will cry out."
Amen.
And she went on to say, "Well, you know, different people like to do things different ways. And, you know, that's why they have all these different kinds of churches." And I said, "You're absolutely right." I said, "You're absolutely right." And I said, "You know, you haven't heard a thing I've said all night. God doesn't want us to do it our way."
Amen.
That's what's wrong with the world today. Everybody is doing it their way. You can live in the kingdom of God in which God is sovereign. You can live in the kingdom of world where Satan is sovereign. Everybody wants to live in the kingdom of self and they think they're sovereign. They're not sovereign, they're stupid.
Amen.
I tried to live in Kingdom of Richard for a long time. And you know what? I found out it wasn't all that good. It wasn't really all that good. I had ulcers, hypoglycemia, blind in one eye, couldn't see out the other. I was dumb, stupid. I had all kinds of problems that I just don't even care to talk about. But Jesus said, "Try it my way." And when I tried it his way, guess what? The ulcers were gone. He delivered me of the hypoglycemia. He got rid of all those other problems I didn't want to talk about. Still don't want to talk about it. They're embarrassing. Jesus is a good God.
Amen.
And I'm going to give, you know, it's funny. I wore this shirt on tonight on purpose. I wasn't going to wear this shirt. But I felt led of the Lord to wear this shirt. Because last night, John cooked us up some spaghetti. Good spaghetti. But have you ever noticed spaghetti has a tendency to migrate? Have you ever noticed that? It doesn't matter how careful you are or how much pains you take to keep that stuff in the plate and then get it from the plate to your mouth, somehow it finds a way to get on you.
Mm-hmm.
You ever notice that?
Yep.
So last night, I went out there and they offered me some spaghetti. And I said, "Ooh, praise God, that looks pretty good. Yeah, I'll have some spaghetti." Yeah. So I sat down, I had the plate, and I said, wait a minute, I'm wearing a white shirt. I'm going to go get another shirt on so I don't mess this one up. And I got up and went into the camper and went to take my shirt off and noticed that that spaghetti had jumped on my shirt without me doing anything. And I'm sitting there, Lord, what is this all about? Now, you know, I don't have a lot of shirts. I try to keep my shirts clean and nice for the service and all. I mean, I'm a bum. I ain't wrapped too tight. I'm ugly. My mother dressed me funny, and I never learned to dress right. So what is it with this shirt thing? And the Lord said, I'm trying to show you something. I won't go in there and tell those people, no matter how hard they try, sin is going to jump on them.
Amen.
No matter how hard you try to keep yourself clean, sin's going to find you. And you're going to think you're so pretty, and you're so clean, and you're so well-dressed, but God still sees the sin.
Amen.
That's why He gave us Jesus. Jesus takes away that sin. He's like the fuller. When I put this shirt in that washing machine with that stuff that goes with it, you know, that you get, I guess, soap and bleach. That's it. It's going to take that out. Amen?
Amen.
Did you know this is a washing machine?
Amen.
This is a washing machine. Reminds me of the time I bought my wife a new washing machine. I always promised her a new one. And I brought the new washing machine home and hooked it up. And I figured I was going to try it out. I was going to have some fun with that washing machine. And so I took some dirty clothes, real dirty clothes, put them in that washing machine, threw some soap in there, and, oh, man, it worked so good. She come in there and saw me there and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying out a new washing machine. Don't do that. You'll get it dirty. You know, I've known churches like that. Actually, I'm teasing. My wife really didn't do that. I just heard another preacher say that one time. It sounded so good, I thought I'd do it. But the bottom line, you see, there are a lot of churches out here that think that their washing machine is too good for dirty clothes. And I got news for you. You go out here in this world, sin is going to find you like that spaghetti found me. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. You know why? Because you're not Jesus. It's like I said it before. I'm going to say it every night if God permits. If you come in here looking for a great preacher, forget it. Go home. If you come in here looking for a good preacher, forget it. Go home. If you come in here looking for Jesus, then stick around.
Amen.
Because I'm not a good preacher. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a good-looking preacher. I just love God.
Amen.
And I want to tell you what He's done for me. And I like this crowd in here tonight. This, you know, it's not the same people. We got rid of some devils.
Amen.
Get rid of the devils, we can have fun. So we're going to have fun tonight. We're going to have fun. And I'm going to show you a few things that the Lord's been giving me. And I think you might learn something. Because I was sitting in my camper and I was contemplating King David. You know, everything in the Bible shows us something. And there's type and shadow all through that Bible. And I was thinking about King David. Now, here's David. God said he was a man after his own heart. And David got stupid. He got stupid. He went out on his balcony one day, and he looks out, and there's this woman on her rooftop taking a bath. And he looked over there and said, hee-ha. Now, I know nobody here would ever do anything like that. I know that. You just turn around and walk back in the house and, ooh, I didn't mean to look at that. No, some of you go get your binoculars. But David, he was tempted. And he went to one of his servants. He said, "Hey, there's a woman down there on that rooftop. Bring her up here so I can get a closer look." And he was a king. What are you going to do? You do what the king said. Amen. So he went down there. The servant went down and got the woman and brought him up to David. And David said, "Oh, I like this." And David did things with her he shouldn't have done. And she got pregnant. And now he's caught. You see, because a little pregnant turns into a whole lot. And you can't hide that. So he decided he was going to do something pretty slick. He would call her husband back, get him drunk, have him go in and sleep with her, and then he'd be off the hook. Now, doesn't that sound human? Doesn't that just sound like one of us? Get caught, and instead of admitting it, you're going to try to cover it up and get away with it? So David has the guy come back, tells him to go home. The guy sleeps out with his men. He won't go into his wife. David says, "What are we going to do about this? Let's get him drunk." And he still won't go in. So then what does David do? He sends this guy out and has him killed. He has this guy killed to cover up his sin. And out of that, God teaches David a very valuable lesson. But let me tell you how good God is. Anybody know who Solomon is? Solomon was the son of David and Bathsheba. Amen. And it's through the line of Solomon that Jesus came.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. That's the glory of God. Now, let me show you another thing. When Solomon was anointed king, God asked Solomon what he wanted. Solomon said, "I want wisdom so I can serve you and your people." And God was so impressed with that, he said, "Since you didn't ask me for a long life and you didn't ask me for riches, I'm going to give you both a long life and riches, and I'm going to give you wisdom."
Amen.
"In fact, I want to make you the wisest man of all." And Solomon became the wisest king of Israel. He also became the dumbest. Because God told Samuel, "Don't take anything from Egypt. Nothing." Now, you've been listening to these things and listening to what I've been saying. You've been hearing that Egypt is a type and shadow of the world. And Pharaoh is a type and shadow of the devil. Isn't that right, Terry? And God said, "Don't take anything from Egypt." That means to us today that we're not to take anything from the world. Now, what does that mean? You can't go out here to the grocery store and buy food and eat it? Of course not. What he's talking about is don't take the traditions and the ways of the world and try to call them God. And there's a lot of churches out here that are doing things the world's way and calling it God. And it's not God. It's not. So Solomon went out and ended up taking a horse and then a couple other things and then some wives. And pretty soon he had so many women he didn't know what to do. Might be the old lady in the shoe. And they brought all their false gods and all their traditions, and Israel became in trouble. And God was unhappy about it. But I want to show you something. God blessed Solomon anyway. He blessed him anyway. Why? Because he loved David. Because he loved David. And all of a sudden, I saw something that was so amazing. I saw something that was so clear and so beautiful that God loves me because of Jesus. He loves Greg because of Jesus. Not because of anything Greg has done or how good looking he is, because we can look at him right there and tell he ain't that good looking. In fact, I look around here and there's not too many of us good looking. My son's pretty good looking, but I lie to him all the time anyway. Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves, me, and God loves us because of Jesus.
Amen.
And when we foul up and we do wrong, He still loves us because of Jesus.
Amen.
And I have been preaching this and telling people this. Don't take yourself so serious. One of the worst things they teach you in preacher school is to be serious about yourself. You've got to do certain things certain ways, and you can't tell the people about your faults or they won't respect you anymore. You know, if you go in there and let them know that you're human, they won't look up to you. I don't want anybody looking up to me.
Amen.
If I had a church building, I would like to build me a hole and stand in it. You ever notice I don't stand up there too much? I could get up there. See what I look like in a preacher in a church. Brothers, I'm sorry. I'm making fun of them. I shouldn't do that. Most preachers really are sincere. And they really want to serve God. But you're not going to find out who God is in a cemetery. The only way you can find out who God is in this book, down on your face.
Amen.
And when He pours Himself into you, and you go through that emptying that you have to go through, then you realize He is pretty big.
Amen.
He's pretty awesome. And there's nothing you can do to change Him.
Amen.
There's nothing you can do to change Him. My message is very simple. God is God. Let it be so. Stop trying to be God. You can't. You can't. Anybody remember Cain?
Yep.
Cain slew Abel. Why'd he kill Abel? Because he was jealous. He was jealous because God accepted Abel's sacrifice. And wouldn't accept his. Do you know that people today, there are people out here that are jealous of me? I go out here in the streets, I never have a problem with street people. I never have a problem with the alcoholics and the drug addicts and the prostitutes. They love me. They love me. You know who I have a problem with? Church people. Church people hate my guts because I won't play church. I won't do it. I won't come out and tell you how holy I am and how righteous I am because I don't want to hear the sound of God puking. That's the truth, Steve. Ricky Baldwin had a problem one time. He thought he was real special. Didn't you?
Yep.
Don't anymore, though, do you?
Nope.
Every now and then it creeps back on you. It tries to creep on. Look how special I am. I went out the other day and I prayed for this woman. You prayed for Gail the other night. She had migraine headaches for years. She'd had this one for 3 days. I finally found out about it. I said, what are you doing with that? Give it to me. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Instantly it was gone. And there was another guy standing there. He knows you. I'm not going to say his name, but he knows you, doesn't he? And he knew you wouldn't lie, right? And when you said, wow, I'm healed, he got up and ran over to the other side of the camper. He didn't want nothing to do with me. Now, I think he realizes now I'm no different than he is. I'm just like you. See? Touch me. Lightning didn't come out of the sky. She's still alive. Amen? But God is love, and God is power and righteousness. And you know, He wants to share Himself with you. He wants to share everything He's got with you. But in order for Him to do that, you've got to learn He's God, not you.
Amen.
Stop trying to be worthy. Huh? If you wait to be worthy, it ain't never going to happen. Like I told you about my son the other night. You think he come up to me crawling on his knees, bowing his head, and, "Oh, Father, I'm not worthy to even speak Thy name. But, oh, Father, if I could but touch the candy bar that You have in Your pocket, I'd drop kick him." And then go slap his mother and say, "What you do with him? You broke him. He was fine when I left the house. I come back here and he's crazy." And yet that's how most of you go to the Lord. When you pray, "Oh Lord, I'm not worthy to talk to You. Oh Lord, I'm such a sinner." He knows all that. He knows you're not worthy. He knows you're a sinner. He knows you're not wrapped too tight. He knows the very thoughts in your mind. He knows the thoughts in your heart. He knows everything about you. He knows more about you than you do. And I'm telling you, He still loves you.
Amen.
Still loves you. And Ricky Jr. come in that house, man, if he thought I had a candy bar in my pocket, his whole attitude, "Daddy, is that my candy bar? Can I have it?" "Huh? Thank Dad." And before I could say yes, no, or maybe, he'd have that thing down, and you can look at him and tell that. You say, "Well, he's built like his daddy." Yeah, but I never looked like that until I got in my 40s. When I was his age, I looked more like that skinny guy back there. I didn't even look as good as that guy. He's got more shoulders than I had. I think my shoulders were about as wide as his hips. I was skinny, pitiful. I don't know what his mother ever saw in me. Well, she was blind anyway. You love the Lord, say praise God.
Praise God.
Jesus loves you and God loves you, and that's what I want to put forth here. I want to take the shackles off of you. I want to take the blinders off of you and open you up so you can enjoy what God has for you.
Amen.
So you can enjoy Him. I want you to be able, when your children are sick, to not get all upset and not cry. I want you to say, "Well, praise God, this is an opportunity to see the glory of God."
Amen.
And lay hands on that child and see that child healed. We had a woman come to our house down in South Carolina from Louisiana. She'd gotten a hold of my internet thing, web page, I guess that is.
Yeah.
Got a hold of the web page and come up there and read about me, and she emailed me. And I don't know what it is with people, but the Reverend Mr. Usler, and our whole attitude was, "Would it be possible for us to make an appointment and come and visit you for an hour?" I said, "Look," I wrote her back, I said, "Ma'am," I said, "you live in Louisiana, you come anytime you want, you can stay as long as you want and talk to me as long as you want." They think because I've got that thing, internet thing, that I'm some big shot preacher in a big giant church, thousands of people with a bouffant hairdo. I ain't got a hair to have a bouffant hairdo. God's taking care of that problem for me. Just take a little olive oil, dump it on my head, and swirl it around and comb it back. People say, you got a funny looking haircut. Well, it goes with a head. People say, why you got all your problems? I said, sin. I got false teeth. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, should I? Person said to me one time, we know you're not a Christian because God says in His Word that if you are His, He'll never let your teeth break or anything like that. I said, yeah, but He also said, the wages of sin are death.
Amen.
I said, my teeth went bad in my head because I had sin. You admit that? Of course. Got false teeth. And I thank God for them. They're better than the last ones I had because I didn't take care of them. I didn't take care of the other teeth. But I'm taking care of these. I wash them every now and then. Get that old soap out, you know. It's kind of fun brushing my teeth now, you know. I get they can look at me while I'm looking at them. I don't really like doing that sometimes, but it just somehow or another makes me not so prideful. How can I be prideful in you if I'm talking about my false teeth, right? But God wants to show you that His love is so great and so wonderful, and His mercies are so abundant, that in spite of you, and in spite of the way you are, He wants you to have a piece of Him in you.
Amen.
And it's neat about that, see? Because remember the parable of the woman with the leaven and the three loaves? You know, people try to make that a big spiritual teaching. You know, not three loaves, the three measures. Three measures. One loaf, three measures. You see, Terry, stand up. Terry's three measures of meal. And there wasn't anything good in him at all. Nothing. And one day, Jesus, or the Father, put just a little piece of Jesus in here. Just a little piece. When He said, Lord, I accept You as my Savior. And God took a little piece of that Jesus leaven and put it in Him. And you know what? That leaven began to grow. And began to grow. And one day, Terry began to expand, and he had to do something for Jesus. That's what the kingdom of God is about. It's not what you do, it's what He does.
Amen.
See? Now, sit down, Terry. Thank you. Let me tell you, God has called every believer to be a minister.
Amen.
See, now, that most ministers don't want to tell you that. Most ministers don't want to tell you that because then they're not special. See? If I'm special, it's because I love Jesus. It's not because of what I wear or what I look like or how good I am, because these guys know me. I'm not good. I can get angry and say things that I shouldn't do. I feel bad about it when I do. I try not to. But you know what? I'm not going to quit loving Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not going to quit. So, He has showed me in the Word where Jesus said, go and teach all nations. Go, my teeth, see, they're not working. Go and teach all nations whatsoever things I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen?
Now, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, look at what I just said. How many times have you ever seen a baptism? Anybody ever seen a baptism? And did not the preacher say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost? Isn't that what he said? Why didn't he baptize him in his name? He said, baptize him in the name of the Father. What's the name of the Father?
Jesus.
In the name of the Son.
Jesus.
In the name of the Holy Ghost.
Jesus.
Jesus. You know, you will not find one place, not one single place in the New Testament where anyone was baptized by any other name.
Amen.
You're not going to find it. When Peter went and baptized Cornelius' household, they were baptized in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He didn't stand out there and dunk them three times or sprinkle them or whatever. He said, "In Jesus, I baptize you in the name of Jesus," and baptized them. When Paul baptized those guys over in Acts 19, it was in the name of Jesus. When Philip went down to Samaria, it was in the name of Jesus. When he went over to the Ethiopian, it was in the name of Jesus. These guys knew what Jesus was talking about. Because they knew Jesus. But these cemeteries out here are people because they don't know Jesus. They do it man's way. Now, I know somebody's going to roll out here, "Oh, that Brother Euchre must be a Jesus-only man." Well, I'm Jesus-only when it comes to salvation, but I'm not dumb enough to throw away the fact that God is three.
Amen.
He is three. The Word says it. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, these three are one.
Amen.
Figure it out. I'm three. Dan back there is three. At least two and three quarters. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." God has a soul, a spirit, and a body. I have a soul, a spirit, and a body. I'm a three person. I'm a three person in one. And God has revealed Him all three of His persons through the Word of God. In the Old Testament, He revealed His soul. In the New Testament, He revealed His body. And from the book of Acts on, He reveals His spirit.
Amen.
And the three are one.
Amen.
And we're to be one in Him.
Amen.
We praise and thank the Father because all love and all power proceedeth forth from the Father. Our salvation proceedeth forth from the Father. The whole plan of salvation proceedeth forth from the Father. And you know how simple that is? It's because your soul is the seat of your mind and your intellect. Every decision you make with your soul.
Amen.
Well, some people make it with their body, but most people make their things with their soul, their mind. So God wants you to know that His love is so great and so wondrous and so perfect that He wants you to share in Him. And when you receive Him as your Lord and Savior and you accept Him for God and admit that you yourself in this tabernacle, you are a sinner. I am a sinner. And it's only the church people I have to remind that to. You know, I talked to a minister the other day. Well, it wasn't the other day. It was a few months back. I was over in Texas with Dan. And this minister was in his 80s, and he was telling me how he was without sin. And I said, "Wow, I'm glad to meet you, sir. Can I shake your hand?" He was eating it up. His wife over there looking at me kind of weird. She was watching me. She knew I was up to something. I said, "Man, that's amazing. I have never met a man without sin before. The only one I knew without sin was Jesus." I said, "That means you're never going to die." "What?" I said, "Doesn't the Bible say that wages of sin are death? But righteousness is eternal life? If you're righteous without sin, then you're never going to die. You're going to have a long life." And his wife caught it. And she started laughing. And he had to go to dinner real quick. It wasn't his fault. He was sincere. He just been taught wrong. And you know what else is neat? When you can turn loose and let God be God, all of a sudden following Him is so easy. Following Him is so easy. You know, going back to what I said, everybody here is called to be a minister.
Amen.
When Jesus said, go teaching all nations, what is teaching all nations? That's discipleship. What is a disciple? A disciple is a student. Students are supposed to graduate.
Amen.
If they don't graduate, they're no good. I know people have been sitting in churches for 27 years, 30 years, and have done absolutely nothing that God has told them to do. Nothing. Because they're still waiting to feel worthy. They're still. I know a man sitting down in South Carolina right now, and he won't preach and he won't do anything because he's waiting for God to tell him. God hasn't told me, and unless God tells me, I'm not going to do it. And I told him, He's already told you. When? I didn't hear it. In His Word.
Amen.
In His Word. If you can't believe Him in His Word, what makes you think you're going to believe Him if you hear Him? And if you're not going to listen to His Word, what makes you think He's going to talk to you? He got mad at me. But, you see, when you wait to feel worthy, it is never going to happen. My son come up to me. You know, parents. How many parents in here? Anybody in here got kids? How many remember saying to your kids? No, let me back that up. How many of you remember your parents saying to you, I wish you'd just grow up? Huh? You remember your parents saying that to you? Mine was still saying it to me when I was 38. Yeah, it's the truth. They were still saying to me when I was 38. Baby, I wish you'd grow up. And it's funny, you notice that when your kids are small, it's the opposite. Don't do that. You're not old enough. Huh? You ever notice that? They're trying to do things that are beyond them when they're little. Then they get to a certain age and it starts to change. You ever wonder why, Steve? I'll tell you why. Because we're eternal. Your soul is eternal. And when that little thing, that little cell comes together with that seed and that explosion takes place, God puts an eternal soul and an eternal spirit into that little body. And that soul is fully mature.
Amen.
And that spirit is fully mature. Only the body isn't mature. And as that child is born, the soul wants to do things it can't seem to get the body to do because the body just doesn't behave. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm 53 years old. How old are you, sir? Yeah. 63. Now, we're not going to tell secrets about our body. And we're not going to lie about our body because I think they'd know better, right? But in here, how old do you feel? Very young. In fact, you feel probably somewhere between 16 and 18 years old. Isn't that right? Huh? Now, how did I know that? Because God told me. No, because I am the same way. And I've been asking this question to all kinds of people. And you know, everybody says the same thing. Just give or take a few years. That's the age of your soul. And it's never going to grow older. Never will. So my son used to come up to me. And I'd say to him, Ricky, grow up. Boy, I wish you'd grow up. Didn't I say that to you?
I'm sure.
And he'd get bent out of shape and whine and cry and moan and groan, stomp off. And one day he came to me. He said, Dad, I don't understand. Of course, you see, all these years I was telling him to grow up, I didn't understand it either. Well, hello, puppy. Come on in and join us. Hi. Yeah, it's a good place to be. Let's come in and have some fun. See, when I was 16, my mother told me to grow up. I figured, well, when I'm 18, I'll grow up. When I was 18, I figured it'd be when I was 21. When I was 21, I said, well, maybe 25 is the magic number. At 25, well, maybe 30. I started getting worried. So when does this grow-up thing ever happen? And then Ricky asked me, Dad, you keep telling me to grow up. How do you grow up? And it was so simple then, see, because I understood it. I said, son, if you wait to feel grown up, it'll never happen. What growing up means is simply accepting responsibilities for what you do.
Amen.
That's all it is. Now watch this. If you as a believer in Jesus Christ wait to grow up and feel worthy to serve God, I'm going to tell you right now, it'll never happen. Never. The secret is simply to agree with God and obey.
Amen.
And when you obey, obedience brings about perfect faith. See? Obedience brings perfect faith. Now, we're taught that you can't believe a thing until you understand the thing. So everybody waits to understand a thing to believe it. And the problem is, if you do that, you'll never believe. The airplane wasn't invented because they understood it. It was invented because they believed it could be done.
Amen.
See, I read my Bible, and Jesus said some neat things in there. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And I looked around for the signs. I couldn't find any signs anywhere. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. We will lay hands on the sick who will be healed.
Amen.
And I looked around for believers with signs, and I didn't find any. And I found a preacher one day, and I said, why aren't the signs? Oh, they're not for today. And I thank God I didn't believe him.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's think about it now. Well, I had no clue I was going to preach this stuff tonight. Let's put it. Ladies and gentlemen, I have made a marvelous experience. This discovery that I don't believe this book. I don't believe half of it. I never heard God speak to me. I don't even know if there is a God. But I became a minister so I could help people out because, you know, people aren't wrapped too tight. So I just want you to know that even though I don't believe the Bible and I don't believe in God and all this other stuff, I still want you to follow me. Now, what do you think would happen if that preacher stood up in the pulpit and did that? You think he'd have a church next Sunday? No. Just say, what am I doing here?